Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
HCI Care Services recently merged with Visiting Nurse Services of Iowa. What is Visiting Nurse Services and what do they do? Let's go in depth with Shar Yoder with HCI Care Services, Knoxville, and Sean Wallstein and Jeanette Lutheringer with Visiting Nurse Services, Des Moines. So Shar, it's been about a year since you merged with another organization. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, HCI Care Services has merged with VNS Services of Iowa. It's an organization that has been around for a very long time. Together, the two organizations, we care for people from birth to death.
And VNS stands for?
Visiting Nurse Services.
All right, so they offer a wide variety of services.
Many, many services from, taking care of women and prenatal care, mental health services, helping people function and be healthier throughout their lifespan, all the way to end-of-life care.
And as we're undergoing the new transition of Obamacare, it's important for HCI to branch out, expand a little bit?
Yes. With Obamacare, the focus is really on health and being healthy throughout your lifespan. It's all about providing quality care for people in our communities at the lowest cost that we can do that.
And Sean, what do you do for VNS?
I'm the community wellness specialist. I help develop our wellness programs and work with local businesses and companies doing wellness health screenings, flu shots, other types of vaccinations such as the Tdap with the whooping cough, pertussis.
All right, and so you'll come into the community and maybe do a larger business or small business?
No, we come on site to any company or organization. We like to work with all sizes so that way we can facilitate and help everyone that needs it. We work with populations as small as 4 or 5 people in a company up to 1,000 member organizations. We have a very diverse group of clients, and we have a wide variety of nurses that are able to facilitate different needs.
And you work all over Iowa?
Yep, we're expanding a lot more out of central Iowa, trying to get so we can cover more. We work with all throughout the state. We work with a lot of the local school districts spread out throughout the state of Iowa.
Okay, well, school districts, that's an important segment of the population to hit about a lot of things, isn't it?
Yep, the schools are definitely one that we try to help focus on. We want to keep the teachers healthy, keep the students healthy. It's an opportunity to educate, too, at the same time and keep everybody learning.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Shar Yoder with HCI Care Services and Sean Wallstein and Jeanette Lutheringer with Visiting Nurse Services. And Jeanette, what do you do?
So I'm managing the programs and the nurses. We're excited to work with HCI in the local communities. They provide us with nurses available to provide services to kind of enhance our services. So I actually go out and do the flu shots. We give vaccinations. Again, besides just flu, we do hepatitis B. We do, again, the Tdap because of the reoccurrence of the whooping cough that we're seeing now. A lot in school-aged children, we're offering those types of vaccinations, again, both for children and for staff. We also do, for the wellness screenings, we do biometrics. So we go into, again, any kind of businesses or community centers that might be interested in doing. We do glucose testing and cholesterol levels, so we can kind of give you a baseline information about where your health is now, and then try to give you some ideas about steps that you can take to improve those if there's some problems in that area.
Well, how big is your organization?
we have the combined organizations of HCI and VNS are about 500 employees now. So we bring to the table about 200 or so, and then combined with the HCI employees, that brings us close to 500, I think, around the state of Iowa.
And a whole bunch of nurses, I bet.
Yes, actually. We like those best.
And so what do you enjoy about your work?
I love working with people. I like making a difference. I like really trying to affect individuals and making improvements in their lives, because then that reaches out into the community. If you can change a parent and make them healthier, then they're going to make that child healthier. Your community is going to be able to take care of itself more. So I like the fact that I get to make a difference.
Sean, what do you like about it?
My biggest is I enjoy the educational part of it. Again, educating the population on how to be healthier. Again, kind of relating to what Jeanette said, where you educate the adults and hopefully it passes on to our children. And we can kind of help stop this trend of America becoming unhealthy and creating a more healthy lifestyle for everybody.
How do you undertake those educational efforts?
Well, we start out with first with like our biometric screenings. When we do our wellness screenings, we have informational handouts that we've developed that we provide people regarding specific issues such as blood pressure, cholesterol, or different areas, and trying to give people simple tasks and simple ways that they can improve these numbers throughout their life. So it's a lifestyle change rather than just a quick modification that you use for a little bit and then you go back to your old habits. Instead, we're trying to create a change and a lifestyle change so it's something that people can live with.
Well, it's not easy to do, is it?
No, it's not. The biggest thing with creating a lifestyle change is first finding the motivation. You got to really help people find the motivation that they want to change. And then it's providing them with the proper education and stuff that the tools that they can use throughout life. I always like to go back to the old saying of it's better to teach a man to fish than to give a man a fish, and especially in health and wellness. I mean, there's a lot of diets and a lot of supplements and pills out there that you can have great success with for 6 or 8 weeks, but as soon as people tend to get out of those things, they go right back to the old habits, versus if you really truly change your lifestyle and live a certain way, you can continue it.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Shar Yoder with HCI Care Services and Sean Wallstein and Jeanette Luthringer with Visiting Nurse Services. Well, what are some of the challenges that you're seeing now in our communities?
I think it's about making healthier choices. And again, sometimes I think we think maybe too big, even small changes that we can make. Trying to get the minimally recommended amount of activity, taking the steps more, walking more, making healthier food choices, going for the fruits and the vegetables, drinking lots of water. So I think there are really even small steps that every single one of us can take, not only to improve our health, but then again to model that for our children and to model that for the community and really make big changes in both your personal health and then how everybody, as opposed to the flu and the seasons that we're getting into for cold and respiratory illness, washing your hands, coughing into your elbow instead of your hands, staying home if you're sick, seeing a medical provider if you have continued symptoms, and making sure that you're getting the treatments that you need to prevent others around you from getting sick too.
Well, the big news now is the flu. Have you been dealing with flu shots with people with the flu, any of that?
Yes, definitely. We got vaccine early. We started vaccinating people. Two of the three strains, there's three different strains in the flu vaccine every year. They did change them this year. They really feel confident in the strains that they chose. We're really not seeing a huge amount of people coming down with those strains, but there is. What we are seeing, CDC and the county health departments are seeing a significant number of people getting sick from the flu this season because there are people that can't be vaccinated, younger than 6 months. People with chronic health conditions, if they do even get a different strain of the flu, can be hospitalized. That there are serious health people with chronic medical conditions can have really serious complications from the flu.
Well, and some of it's sort of scary. I guess maybe I'm being a little paranoid, maybe, but when I see a health emergency in Boston and I see lots of people going to emergency rooms, it's out east mainly yet. Is that troublesome? Does that worry you a little bit as a nurse?
It does, especially with the kids back in school. I think this is going to be a really critical time for us. There is still flu vaccine available locally. It's not too late to get vaccinated or to vaccinate your children. It takes about 2 weeks to build up immunity, and after that you will still be protected until June or July, until they kind of decide the next flu season erupts. So I think it is cause for concern. I think, again, we do need to think about not only our own individual health, but the health of our children, and then, again, how that's going to affect the community-wide.
And it's not too late to hit the flu shots?
No, it's definitely not. We are still vaccinating. A lot of the county health departments are still vaccinating, really up until we have vaccinated as late as April, March, into the year. Because that's usually when the hardest hits is January to March is when we see the most significant increase in flu. But this year it's hitting earlier and it's hitting harder.
Okay, so go get those flu shots.
Definitely.
All right, now you mentioned pertussis. What's our concern with pertussis?
We've been starting to see a reoccurrence again. We really did a great job. Children were being vaccinated on a specific schedule. We really felt like it was being taken care of. But just in the last year, maybe two, we've seen a reoccurrence, a significant reoccurrence, especially in schools where kids are starting to show up with those symptoms. It's passing on to as adults, sometimes your immunity wanes a little bit. You get vaccinated as a child, but what we're finding is that the levels of immunity in adults has waned. So we're encouraging adults to get that updated vaccination. The Tdap, which is an adult vaccination, has your tetanus. So that cover, you're supposed to get a tetanus vaccination every 10 years. That would cover that tetanus update that you need. It has diphtheria in it, which is a disease we don't see much, but it is included in the vaccine. And then it also protects against the pertussis, the whooping cough.
So when did they start doing pertussis vaccinations? I mean, there's some people that may have never had them, huh?
It's been quite a while. I mean, really, I think even, you know, when we were young, I think that that's when they started during childhood vaccinations. But it hasn't necessarily been a vaccination that adults have ever gotten. And so I think that's where we're seeing potentially some of the reoccurrence is that, again, our immunity has waned since childhood. And so really, you need that booster to really try and keep it under control.
Well, if you asked me, I couldn't tell you that I've never had a pertussis vaccination. Really.
It is. And that's wonderful what we do now with the vaccine registry that we have for children is we can track all that information. It's a wonderful system that we have now. But you're exactly right. As adults, we don't know. I know even personally, it's a struggle to keep up with when did I have my last tetanus, you know. I got all my vaccinations as a children, but it was just written on a cute little card that my mom kept. So where that is now and, you know, what I've been vaccinated against is a struggle for adults.
And so it's just best to check into it.
It is. You should talk to it. If you have any concerns at all, you know, there's information on CDC's websites or the VNS website, or talk to your medical provider about it and get their advice, especially about vaccinations and what you should have and what's going to protect you and your family and your friends and your coworkers most.
Well, what's next for HCI and VNS? Is there any plans of any future growth or anything?
Well, I think the big plan right now is just for us to continue to see how we can work together and continue to serve the communities that we're serving. We at VNS are trying to get out and serve more with the communities at HCI. HCI's definitely got a broader range right now, and we're just trying to catch up to them and continue to be able to serve their communities that they've been serving for years. And that way we're both out there providing different services, but yet serving them together to help service everybody from pre-childbirth all the way to end of life.
Thanks to Shar Yoder, Sean Wallstein, and Jeanette Luthringer for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.